61. If you please mark your songbooks in 280 to 280, that'll be the song invitation. I have decided to make for the Follow Jesus.
Amen. 360. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through an eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God.
Wealth and fame may never come to me, and a palace fair here I may never be, but let come what may, if Christ for me doth care, anywhere. He keeps me on.
turn to number 195. 195, Beyond the Sunset. Beyond the Sunset. Beyond the sunset, oh blissful morning, when with our Savior heaven is begun, earth's toiling ended, oh glorious dawning. Beyond the sunset, when day is done, beyond the sunset.
Continue with that theme, let's sing song number 359, O Victory in Jesus, number 359.
Save a man.
85, Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom, number 85.
Are you sowing the seeds of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday's flare? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done.
Try number 651, Hide Me, Rock of Ages, 651.
Save
try number 125. Nearer still near, 125.
So pray.
scripture reading.
I know.
We'll be reading from the New King James, and we'll be reading from Matthew 12, verses 25 through 30. Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That was from Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30.
Always love to hear Dick read. He reads so reverently the scriptures, and that's how it should be. He reads slowly enough that we can see what the writer is saying. Sometimes folks just call words, and Dick reads the thoughts that are there. And I appreciate that very much. In our study tonight, we're not going to talk very long, as this is a singing night. Christy told me, keep it short, Dad. Well, I understand that. And so we're going to talk about some things very briefly in our study tonight. And we use this time in our singing nights to offer the Lord's invitation. And I don't know very many passages that express the Lord's invitation that are better than this one. The Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In our study this morning, we were talking about the hope that we have. Based on the premise of this passage and the promise that Jesus makes, we have the opportunity to look forward to rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In these verses, we not only see what Jesus has promised, but we also see the responsibility that we have to take that yoke upon ourselves and to learn of Him. Notice, if you would please, that in this invitation, the Lord said, come. Now that's an impressive word. It tells us that man needs to do something because it is man that has departed from God. Man is away from God. And secondly, we must notice what it is that causes that separation from God. Sin is the problem. And as we read in Isaiah chapter 59, a familiar text, the writer says, behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear. The very idea that God turns his face from us, he will not hear, because sin separates us from God. I know some that have become obedient to the gospel because that very thought shocked them. They didn't realize that their sin had separated them from God so that they could not call upon God as their Father. He was not their Father. In fact, they were children of the devil and didn't know it. Just like those in John chapter 8 who claim we have Abraham as our father and we have never been in bondage to any man. Well, the fact is Jesus called them in verse 44 of their father, the devil. No, they weren't of the father Abraham, neither were they of God the Father. Sin and rebellion had separated them from God. But as Jesus said, come unto me. That's not a thought that impresses us with the idea that we just have to lay aside all of our ability to reason, our ability to think, and just absolve some things simply because that's what Jesus said. Well, no, not really. As we talked about in our study this morning, we talked about hope. And we noted that hope is built upon faith, but faith is built upon what God says. Romans 10, verse 17, that's how faith comes. Isaiah said to the troubled people of Israel, come now, and let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The writer says, come, let us reason. That means that the teaching of God's Word is reasonable. It makes sense. It appeals to intelligence. That's why we learn that the gospel of Christ is an intelligent revelation that can be taught. Jesus said unto the apostles, go teach all nations, or go make disciples of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The gospel is to be taught. Now, if it was just something that was kind of mystical or a better felt than told, some kind of a funny feeling, it wouldn't be something that could be taught. It would be in something that would be imposed upon you that wouldn't appeal to your intelligence. But yet we find that the gospel is something that can be taught. You see, it makes no appeal to superstition. It doesn't appeal to prejudices or emotions like many false religions do. It appeals to evidence that appeals to your intelligence. That's why John wrote in chapter 20 regarding who Jesus is. Many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name. John writes to provide evidence so you can believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now that appeals to intelligence. You examine the evidence. You come to a conclusion that is based upon the evidence. Friend, that's reasoning, isn't it? But that's not just being blindly led. That's reasoning upon the basis of what God said. Intelligence, examining the evidence. We walk by faith, but how is faith produced? It's not produced by some kind of blind emotionalism. It's produced by the Word of God. We also find that as the Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter 1 verse 16, that there were some who followed cunningly devised fables. In other words, they followed a lie. They believed it was right, perhaps. But the gospel is not some kind of deceit. The gospel is not appeals to emotion. The gospel is reasonable. It appeals to intellect because it's right. You'll also notice that when Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How in the world did Jesus know that men are heavily laden? How did He know that this world offers temptations and burdens and trials and temptations of life? Well, He'd been there and done that. Jesus was exceedingly sympathetic because He knows what it is to be a man. He knows the temptations and the trials that go along with that. In the Hebrew writer, in chapter 4, verse 16, or verse 14 beginning, he says, "We have not a high priest that cannot be tempted with our infirmities, but one that hath been tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin." That's the kind of high priest that we have. He became man. He subjected Himself to the trials and the temptations of man. The Hebrew writer further says in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 5 beginning, he said that Jesus learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Now what was it that Jesus had to learn that He didn't know before? He had never experienced the trials of temptation while in the glory of heaven. He had never experienced the sorrows that we have in the flesh. He had never experienced the discouraging things that you and I experience, but He learned what it is to obey when He came to this earth and lived in flesh. Now who better to sympathize with you and to invite you to come knowing that you have labors and you're heavy laden than Jesus the Christ, the Son of God? He knows what that's all about. Now, my friend, as we read the invitation, we see essentially two things that the Lord makes mention of. He says, "Come unto me." But then He says, "Take up your yoke. Take up my yoke and learn of me." Again, that appeals to intellect. That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11. But you know, the problem often, in fact, more than often, is that man is not willing to lay down his life and take up the yoke of the Lord and deny self and follow Him. Now there's the problem. In Matthew the 16th chapter, reading beginning at verse 24, Jesus said unto His disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life?" Jesus, in this context, talking about eternal life. The King James translation translates it like this: "For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Well, that's right. What's worth more than your soul? You see, if we're going to come unto Jesus, then that means taking up His yoke and being willing to learn of Him and to follow Him. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 44, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day." Now, some folks we talk to say that the Father zaps you in some kind of a mystical way with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's how he draws you. No, not so. Let's read on. How then does God draw man? Verse 45 says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught." That's interesting. How is it that God draws men unto him? Why, it's through teaching. He said, "Everyone therefore that hath heard from the Father and hath learned cometh unto me." Now Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden." How do we come unto him? Well, the Father draws you, but how does the Father draw you? Through being taught, through hearing the Word of God, through learning the things, and that's what Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn." How do you learn? You're taught. It's something that's teachable. Now these three words really in essence just kind of boil it all down. You hear the gospel, you learn, and then you come. Now that's how God draws men unto Christ. And that's illustrated for us in Acts the 15th chapter, as the Apostle Peter is defending the conversion of the Gentiles. He said, "Brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should do what? Hear the words of the gospel and believe." They were taught, and they believed what they were taught. And then we learned that there was no distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles. God cleansed their hearts by faith just as he did us. Now in the days of the New Testament, that's what was done. Now that really surprises us, doesn't it? Because Jesus told the apostles, "Go teach. Baptize those that you've taught, and then you teach them some more." But we find that to be a pattern throughout the New Testament. The gospel was preached. People believed the gospel, and they became obedient to it. Isn't that simple? That's not hard. And that's what Jesus said. "Come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall have rest." Now that's the gospel in and of itself, and that's the invitation that Jesus gave. We see in Acts the 8th chapter that as Philip preached in the city of Samaria, the text tells us, "But when they believed Philip preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Notice that Philip went down to Samaria and he taught them. When they believed the things they were taught, they became obedient to the gospel. They were baptized, both men and women. In Acts the 18th chapter, we find that the Apostle Paul was preaching in the city of Corinth. And again, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. That's not hard, is it? We see a consistent pattern throughout the book of Acts, following the instructions of the Lord when he said, "Go teach, baptize them, and then you teach them some more." Now, friend, that's the invitation of the Lord. When he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But the Lord invites you to come. Through the teaching of the gospel, you are drawn unto him. Will you believe what he says, and then will you come in obedience to his will? Very simple lesson. But yet it's one that's overlooked by so many. Maybe I'm talking to somebody in the audience tonight that needs to obey the gospel. You understand what you need to do. We don't need to belabor that point. But would you obey him tonight? Maybe someone who desires to become a Christian. By having repented of your sins, confessing your faith, would you be baptized into Christ tonight? Maybe it's one who has obeyed the gospel and not lived faithfully. Why not correct your life tonight? Right now, while together we stand and while we sing.
To follow Jesus, I have decided.